Okay, so ready to talk today?
I would love to talk. What do you have on tap for us today?
So today I want to talk about rest.
Rest, okay. I'm excited to talk about that. I think it's an important thing.
Welcome to the With Counseling Podcast. I'm JJ Blandford, founder and therapist at With Counseling. So the reason that I want to talk about rest is, right, we've recently talked about like schedule and summer and all the things. And I think as people, there are these expectations that we put on ourselves, we feel society has put on us to produce, to contribute. And so often why people don't show up to me and say like, oh, I'm coming to therapy because I need rest.
Yeah.
Rest is so often a part of the conversation of, I have been trying to produce, strive, whatever, and it's not fulfilling me in the way that I have been told this would fulfill me.
Okay.
And so rest becomes a part of our therapeutic conversation.
Yeah, that's good. I feel like if people go to the previous episode on prepping for summer, like one of the big revelations you had was like scheduling in rest time for, yes, for your family, like actually on the calendar.
Yes.
This is a night where we are not scheduling anything because we need some downtime. And that doesn't look like everybody's probably like taking a nap or early bedtime, but just like not doing. Right. So what I guess what you're saying about seeing people in therapy is that rest is not usually the reason they come to therapy, but it's one of the byproducts of other things. Like a lack of rest is a byproduct of other things.
Can,
right?
Be. Okay. And I think culturally we live in a world that rest is a reward.
Yeah.
And so people don't feel that they can rest until they have accomplished. Like say, for instance, on a Saturday,
yeah,
right? You don't have work and I need to do the laundry, pick up the house. Kids have a sports game. We have a birthday party to attend. And you know, are to Sunday night and like, ugh, back to the work week.
Right, right.
And so if you are not scheduling intentional rest for yourself, I would say also for your family, it can lead to burnout. And again, okay, we are talking about things that I am helping name for people in therapy, and this need for rest has been coming up a lot the last couple of weeks. And so I thought it was worth having the conversation around.
Yeah, I think maybe a good starting point then is, can you maybe define burnout? I feel like it's a word we throw around a lot, but like, how would one even know they're burned out or on the way to that?
I mean, you can Google it and get lots of different definitions. How, right, I think about burnout is like things that brought you joy aren't anymore.
Okay.
You are dreading, it's often around work, but it's that like, I am dreading the night before that I even have to get up and go to this place again. I'm not maybe contributing in the same way that you have. Maybe you are a high performer and you're noticing you have less motivation to perform at work. You know, sometimes people come so burned out, like they're leaving a job. They are on a, what are those lovely things they call them? Like personal growth plans,
yeah,
you know, these, like we've noticed this decline. And so I think sometimes, yeah, we don't realize we're on the way to burnout. We realize when we're there and it's like, oh, this feels terrible. How do I fix it?
Yeah. I mean, thinking back to times where I have burnt out, I am probably I'm prone to burnout, I feel like, in some, yes.
That is self-awareness.
I do struggle with that maybe a touch. And yeah, hitting rock bottom's not fun.
No.
I've been there a few times and like, it involves weeks of almost doing nothing even to like get back. Changing things significantly, like once you've hit that rock bottom. So I feel like, yeah, if you can, you know, feel that starting and then correct a little bit, that is a very good skill to have.
For, correct, sure.
Yeah.
And I think, again, rest helps with burnout. Like, yeah, when I'm talking about rest, it, like you said, it's not like, oh, on Sunday, everyone takes a nap. Like, those were glorious years when we had nappers.
Oh, man, I miss the napping days so much.
And that is not a reality.
That is not.
And I know if you have nappers, you're like, there's other challenges, yes, right?
For sure, for sure.
And so just sometimes rest is, how are you doing something intentional that doesn't require you to produce?
Okay. Yeah, well, I think we need to delve into that.
So rest could be, I also want to be clear. Sometimes rest is acknowledging that as a human, you need 7 to 8 hours of sleep and caring enough.
Per night?
Per night. Like I know. I know.
Okay, gotcha.
Wild revelation. Okay. And sometimes it is simply, I care enough about myself that I am putting myself to bed at an appropriate time so that I am rested for the next day, whatever that holds for me.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So sometimes it is that simple. Sometimes it's, I'm actually going to spend on this Saturday morning 30 minutes reading a book that I'm interested in, that there's no purpose. Like, you're simply doing it for enjoyment. So it's still an activity and it can be restful.
Yeah, right.
I think about this too of like, right, and this is defining rest how it feels best to you. Sometimes I like cooking a slow, delicious meal feels restful and restorative to me.
And it works for both of us because I get a...
You get to eat that meal.
Yes, exactly. Okay. I'm getting on board here, you know.
When I think about rest,
yeah,
I often just connect it to restorative. What are the things that you engage in? So it may be an activity just done differently, right? Instead of your power walk, trying to get your 10,000 steps every day, it is a meandering walk with your family through a park.
That felt personal. Was that personal?
It was not personal. Okay, gotcha. I'm just saying,
okay, all right,
walks can be for fitness.
Leisurely.
And they can also be leisurely.
Okay.
And so where are the places that you're already doing an activity, whether that's a slower meal, reading a book for fun versus for work or for some organization you're a part of? Where are you prioritizing yourself enough and what you need so that you can show up as a full version of yourself?
Yeah, that sounds all well and good, but are there ways that I can be productive while I rest?
You're so funny.
Okay.
I feel
just
like
clarifying. I'm just asking. The people want to know.
No, this is seriously, I get so much pushback on this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't care. You are coming to therapy and we're going to keep talking about this. And I love to watch people figure out, like, again, I'm not doing this because I'm mean. I'm like doing this because I care about you and your mental health. Like, this is a part. No one can sustain a like 100 miles an hour forever.
Yeah.
And it is foolish to believe that you are the one who can.
Yeah.
And so sometimes my job as a therapist is to come alongside and say, like, the pace that you are moving is not sustainable.
Right.
How For do sure. we incorporate rest, restorative activities so that you can keep producing at the rate that you want, that you can show up to your family, to your friend group, to your job in the way that you want? And I think if we are not taking intentional times of rest, it's detrimental to our overall functioning.
Yeah, I think that's good. Yeah, it's almost like you either put intentional times of rest in or your body will find a way to rest.
Yes, I think we talked about this on our last episode and it rings true.
Yeah.
Like, I think about, right, I got super ill on our honeymoon.
Yes, I remember that vividly. Yeah.
And it's that, right, you've had all this preparation, mm-hmm. all of this work to a thing. And when it's that event ends, your body's like, hey, guess what? I held it together for you. And now we're crashing.
Yeah.
What's funny to me about that particular story is the number of women who are like, oh my gosh, I got so sick on my honeymoon too.
It's very common.
Yeah. And it's this like, yeah, because we pushed, you know, yourself to a limit that wasn't sustainable forever. And it's your body's way of saying like, oh, thank you. And sometimes it's not that big of an event. Like, I have had other times that I was keeping a pace that I knew wasn't sustainable. And it's that like, oh, I'll rest. Oh, I'll rest. Oh, I'll get there. And you get there because you get the flu and you're out of commission for 5 days or whatever that thing is. And so I do think, right, if you're listening every week, you're going to notice some themes. Yeah. How are we being proactive about infusing rest into our weekly rhythms that's just helping sustain us and our mental health and our overall functioning as humans?
Yeah. I think something to think about, though, that people don't think about a lot of times is the cumulative effect of like all of the things that we're doing, right? I think we may have talked about this last time, like brushed over it, but just like if you have stress at work, that depletes you, right? If you have stress at home, that depletes you. If you just started a new hardcore workout routine, that's all of those things are cumulative. It's not like you have a certain amount of over here in the like doing exercise and then you have a certain amount in the stress. Like all of the stresses that you're placing on yourself, all of the not sleeping, all of those things are cumulative, right? And we don't think about how, oh, I've started working out again and I'm stressed at work, but like those are enough to completely deplete me, right? Yes. But we don't connect those dots, this sort of mind body connection, right?
Yeah.
Once again, comes up on the podcast, but I think so many times we push ourselves not realizing that like all of these things are affecting our battery level and how much capacity we really have, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that also comes from, we aren't typically people who are looking at ourselves holistically.
Yeah.
We like to compartmentalize the parts of ourselves.
Right.
And so sometimes it does take an outside perspective to say like, you have normalized all the things that you're doing. Let me name for you how much they are.
Yeah.
And then, you know, to have people have that light bulb moment of like, oh, well, when you say it all like that, it is a lot. And so, I mean, I think if you're listening today, it would be worth, if you're maybe feeling a little frazzled or a little anxious or finding yourself more irritable, what is on your plate? I think some of us,
that's good,
just add stuff and we say yes because it sounds fun or we have a skill set. I know this because I've been guilty of it, right? Now you're making faces
that was
at me.
Not, that was not into, that nod was not intended to be personal, but we have been there, you know, learning healthy boundaries is a long game.
Yes. You know? And so I think so often, okay, in my practice, we talk often about like the type of client I attract, and it is often firstborn girls, high achievers who just do the things because they've done the things.
Yep.
And having people evaluate their own plate of life feels like, duh. Mm-hmm. And people are always like, oh, I haven't thought about this. Again, that cumulative idea of all the places my energy is going. And so sometimes we need to be aware of our own plate. And is there anything that can be removed? Right? Like sometimes we've committed to something and our season with that has passed and we've just never taken the time to rest and reflect.
And which, to stop doing something. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That isn't working anymore. Yeah. And so maybe if you're finding yourself, again, frazzled, anxious, irritable, check out your plate. What is everything still serving you, your family, your community in the way that it was 6 months ago, a year ago? You may look at that plate and think, I'm good to go and I can't add anything else.
Yeah.
Having that self-awareness gives you opportunity to have space to rest moving forward.
And to be able to say no next time, right? Set healthy boundaries. Yeah.
To know what is my capacity. Yeah. If we are never taking the time to rest and reflect, we're not like thinking about our own capacity. We're just saying yes and yes and yes. Mm. And then we're overwhelmed and doing nothing well. I think most of us have probably been there.
Yes, indeed.
And so maybe it's reflecting on your plate and saying like, I'm doing too much and what needs to go?
Yeah.
And that may also mean something that's really good or that you enjoy and it's just not fitting with where your current season of life.
Right. It could be good for another season, right? Maybe you come back to that when you have a little more capacity. Work's not so crazy, right? Any of those things, you can come back, right?
And again, we have the ability to change course. Yeah. And I think we don't think about that enough. Life is demanding. We all have responsibilities. And so, like, there is no shame. I don't want this to be a place of shame of like, oh, I'm at capacity. Why haven't I realized? No, we are kind and compassionate.
Never shame here. There's no shame allowed on this podcast.
To ourselves. Yeah. And taking a moment to evaluate, is everything I'm doing working for me?
Yeah. I mean, practically, I mean, do you suggest sitting down and like literally writing a list of all the stuff that,
that you're doing? Because there are little things that you don't think about, and not just in a week. Think about a month, a quarter, and a year would be my encouragement. Yeah. So what are like daily responsibilities, weekly responsibilities? Like maybe you're a part of a board that meets quarterly. Okay, that feels more manageable versus I was a part of a board that met quarterly. I've taken a new role in that volunteer organization. And it's demanding, you know, I've somehow moved to like a weekly involvement. Is that still feasible for me? Do I need to go back to a different rhythm? Like sometimes too, it's not just saying like yes or no. It's what is a middle ground? How could I make this work? And I think there's things that we do so infrequently that they may not be top of mind that are also worth thinking about. Yeah. Like if I'm doing something so infrequently that it's not coming to mind, is that still a priority to me?
That's a good call.
Where am I, you know, volunteering at kids' schools, involved in a faith community? Like, right, when we're doing any one piece of this, we're not always thinking about all the pieces. And sometimes when you focus on bringing all the pieces together, you realize I have too many pieces and it's it's not sustainable to hold them all, and I'm not doing them all well. And I think that's a really insightful and compassionate thing to say, like, I care enough about myself that I want to show up as a good parent, friend, partner.
Yeah.
And so to do that, I need to, like, get rid of some of the things on my plate.
That's exactly right, because you're not doing yourself any favors. You're not doing anybody else any favors by just burning out and being on this roller coaster of burnout. That seems like it might be a cool thing, even if you like did sit down with a list, to like maybe sit down with a friend you trust and kind of like go over your list, you know, and maybe have them reflect like maybe things you missed or aren't thinking about. Or
sometimes we lie to ourselves.
Yeah.
And we write that list and we say, oh, this is totally manageable. And so I think it's a great idea to sit down with someone who cares about you and say like, are you seeing burnout, more anxiety, more irritability with me? I'm doing this self-reflective exercise.
Yeah.
I think this is manageable. And, you know, you may have a friend who's like, no, you seem to be living your best life. Like, keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
You may sit down with someone who's like, I'm so glad you asked.
I've been meaning to talk to you.
And, you know, thinking about just like, is what you're doing sustainable?
Yeah.
And sometimes you need someone else's perspective to have clarity around that for yourself.
That's good. I think that's great. I encourage everybody to do that. Find a trusted friend, sit down. Maybe you both do the activity independently and then come together, right? And then you can kind of bounce ideas off of each other. And I think there's a lot of like really, or a partner, you know, maybe that's a good time to talk about the mental load, you know, that sort of thing. So we talked about sort of getting rid of things so that we can bring about rest, but what about like ways to implement rest regularly?
I mean, I think while you are making your list of what's on your plate, where are there holes in your calendar?
Yep.
If you are a working parent, is it using your lunch break to take a leisurely walk versus I have 45 minutes and I could run two errands in that time and not have to do it tonight?
Yep.
And so I think sometimes it's caring enough about yourself that you are looking at your schedule, you're looking at your life and saying, where could I do something that's a bit more restorative? Mm. Is it having lunch with a coworker instead of running those couple errands on your lunch break? Is it... So this makes me think about this activity I do. It's called the coping tree.
Okay.
And I do it a lot of times when I do training. And it's this, we have someone draw a tree and they put fruit, beautiful pieces of fruit on the tree. And then a couple of pieces of fruit on the ground. And those are rotten fruit. And it's a way to help people name their good coping skills and their bad coping skills.
And by coping skills, you mean the things that you do
when you're stressed to kind of help you cope.
Right.
Right. And most of us have good things and then, you know, less effective strategies. And,
yes. Less helpful things.
Yes.
Yes.
And so it was a training that I'd gone to with a coworker. We were running a training together and had someone say, I've realized that some of my good fruit is actually the same as my bad fruit.
Hmm.
And it's this idea of like watching an episode or two of your favorite show is your good fruit.
Yeah.
Looking up and 8 hours have passed, you know, our Netflix has been judgy. Like, are you still watching? And you're like, yes, I am still watching.
Please stop bringing that up. All right.
And so to me, it's the same as rest, right? Like, are you doing, are you engaging in those things that are good for you? Like, and that rest could be sitting on the couch for a mindless episode of whatever you enjoy.
Yeah.
It may move from rest if you realize it's 2 a.m., you should have gone to bed a couple of hours ago, and it's going to be really terrible when your alarm goes off at 6 a.m. And so thinking for yourself of how am I setting boundaries and parameters on my rest so that it's actually restorative. Again,
that's helpful.
This idea of like walking, a leisurely walk. You may need to figure out like that is half a mile if I'm going with my children. Because if we go past that, I'm carrying bikes and scooters. It loses.
You're triggering me, okay?
It's so real. Yeah. And so part of this, if rest has not been a part of your rhythm, this is not another place to start gauging your own perfection, like your own performance and, you know, working for perfection. Yeah. It's realizing like, hey, this activity, like maybe reading a little bit is helpful. And if I get sucked into a book and don't engage with my family for a whole day, that may not feel as good.
Yeah.
And so even within rest, how are we setting boundaries and parameters so that it's having the effect that we want it to have versus like becoming something unhealthy or unhelpful?
Yeah, that is some good stuff to think about because those really are very similar a lot of times. And I'm like thinking through my own, you know, coping skills and sort of, you know, it's just easy to get lost and like not set those boundaries or parameters, even around rest, you know, that might need some specific boundaries to not become negative in some way. I think that's helpful. Are there things maybe people don't think about generally that they could be doing that's rest? I know we talked about a leisurely walk. We've talked about, you know, a couple of shows.
I am amazed at the number of clients I have that are creative. And it doesn't come out for like weeks or months until we kind of start talking more about what are restorative things, restful things. A lot of times people are returning to a creative outlet that has served them in another season of life. So maybe in college they took a pottery class that they really enjoyed. As an adult, they've decided to join a pottery studio to practice that skill, being in community, you can rest and engage and rest in a community setting. I have, a lot of artists. And so maybe it's returning to paint, cross stitch, embroidery, like some sort of creative writing outlet. Again, not with the intention to, oh my gosh, I'm going to start embroidering and
monetize this.
Yeah, it's going to be my side hustle. It's like, no, I'm embroidering to enjoy.
Right.
I'm creating to enjoy. And I want to return to that like childlike enjoyment of just creating. Mm,
yeah. That's really helpful. I think that's good stuff. You know what? I'd love for people to maybe, what are some of the things that you have gotten into? Maybe hit us up on social, or this is on YouTube as well. If you like YouTube, you know, and you're just listening to it on podcast, drop a comment. We'd love to hear kind of what you've found that maybe is restful that maybe
helpful.
People don't think about.
Yeah. Helpful for other people to think about.
That would be awesome. A great little community exercise there. Anything else? Do you feel like we just nailed it?
Nailed it. As we do every time.
Perfect.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode talking about rest. I'd love to continue the conversation on social media. You can find me at Counseling With on Facebook and Instagram, or send me an email through my website at counselingwith.com.